You are now listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast. Relax your anus. Balls. Thick thighs. Camille Chat. Where's his neck? Eddie Jones. You're fucked, mate. We're nice now.
Okay, are you ready for me to start recording?
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, look.
Okay, because I'm recording already.
I was sat here thinking, like, oh, we're actually going to have, like, a smooth intro. You're just fucking with me again.
No, we can't have a smooth intro to the show.
That's like a running joke, man. It's fucking knobhead.
Tricking me.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Friends of Rugby.
Energy.
Yeah, you got to be pumped up for this.
Champions Cup energy.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Watch some rugby. Talk about some rugby.
I watched all the games.
Did you?
You made excuses not to watch them.
Fuck off. I was doing things.
You're like, I don't get time to watch the third game. And then I'm driving home and I'm thinking, wait, he wanted to record after. Like, he had time to record, but all of a sudden now he doesn't have any time to watch the last game.
That's not. I said to you, let's record. And you said, aren't we doing that tomorrow? That's bullshit. I'm being gaslit already.
But you had all this time to record.
It's 14th of... No, it's not. It's the 15th. Shit. It's the 15th of April.
Your one part that you had to have. It's in your contract that you have to the date. You missed the last two episodes.
I'm the talent, all right? That was really chaotic. That's the most chaotic intro. Anyways, 15th of April.
That's the podcast.
We have to record it after all the games are completed anyway. So this makes most sense.
Yeah.
Which we're doing.
I'm actually glad that we waited
because
we were originally going to record on Saturday.
I think, let's be real, our communication was bad last week about what we were doing. I'm glad we watched some rugby.
Oh, that's right. Because I was sitting at home.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for you.
And I text you like, what time are you coming? We were like 10 minutes into the Harlequins game.
And then this motherfucker, I was like, where is this motherfucker?
And you were like, you're coming here.
It's when you said that we were going to record after because you had the practice on Sunday.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, okay, maybe I said that or maybe you forgot. But we both have ADD.
We do.
So
that's why I get salty when I'm like accused. Like, we're both as bad as each other, mate. Like,
yeah, so it could be up in the air who fucked up on that.
Yeah. Anyway, we're ready for next week. Actually, no, never mind. Anyway, let's talk about rugby. Let's not talk about our organizations right now.
Sorry, my voice is a little like rusky.
Sounds good.
Because I was yelling at teenagers for like 2 hours.
Yeah, we're both into our coaching phase now, aren't we? We're both back coaching.
This is the first time I've coached rugby.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's my first coaching thing. Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah.
It's so rewarding.
I fucking love it. It's my favorite thing ever. I might prefer it to playing.
It's a little difficult because I got no kids that... I've only have one kid out of 30 that's played rugby before.
Mm.
The rest of them don't even know what it is.
Yeah. Well, they're Canadian.
They've never seen it. They don't know what it is. So... But they love it. We did a whole session today of just tackling.
Yeah. And they all were into it.
They were all into it. But I kind of made it fun.
Yeah.
So like I made it like competitive these games and they're all kind of like fucking around and hitting each other and stuff and cheering.
Yeah. I say that to you and other people a lot. Eh? It's like the first time you get really tackled in a game, you either decide if you're going to play rugby forever or if it's not for you. And if you can soft intro people into that, if you can prepare them, it does help a lot. But there are some people that'll get their first tackle and they go, that's not for me. You know?
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt the first time.
Yeah.
Like I got tackled. I was like, I was sold for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some guy just like destroyed me.
Yeah.
Like came in and just like flattened me right out. And I was just like, okay, I like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind getting tackled. I'm a bit masochistic, I think. I'd much rather get hit than tackle because I feel the pressure of missing a tackle a lot more than I care about taking a hit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the opposite.
Really?
I like, well, it depends. It depends. It's I don't like, if it's during a game, I don't mind getting tackled at all.
Yeah, because your adrenaline's up. You barely feel it when you're playing.
It's easier to get tackled. But when you're the dummy tackler in practice,
oh, that's shit.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's shit. Yeah.
Tackle practice sucks when you're the person getting tackled.
It does. Yeah.
Right? In a game, I it doesn't matter if I get tackled or I run into like a bunch of guys or something like that. Yeah. But when you're the dummy guy in practice, that's the worst.
It feels more tiring in practice as well, doesn't it?
It hurts more.
It does. Well, because your adrenaline's not up, right? You haven't got those like
tired
body chemical painkillers happening, you know?
Yeah. That's true. You know, when you're like, you get out of a game, like I remember like getting out of a game and you don't feel anything, and I go in the shower and I look at down on my leg and I had this huge hematoma on my leg and I was like, oh, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden, as soon as I saw it, instant pain.
Yeah.
Right after the game. But I didn't feel it at all throughout the game.
Yeah. No, I've had second degree tears in games and not realized till like a day later. And I go, that's pretty painful. And you look at it and there's like a cleat sticking out your leg or something. Like, oh, that's bad. Yeah.
Rugby is also like teaches you how to like what is actual real hurt.
Mm.
I used to be like, because when I first started playing, if I had any sort of soreness or anything, I'm like, oh, I can't play. My finger hurts.
Yeah.
I can't play. And then now I know.
Then you discover sports tape.
Yeah. And then you start playing. You're like, oh, I can play through this injury. I can play through this injury. It wasn't too bad. So, you know, like it teaches you, I guess, more about
pain management.
Pain management for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Saying that, I don't think I'll play this year. Dodgy back, but we'll see.
So do you want to get into some Champions Cup?
I'd love to. Quinns,
I can't wait to talk about this.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was thinking about, anyway, let's talk about it. So Quinns, Bordeaux, we watched it mostly together.
Yeah.
Six tries each, was it?
Yeah, it was a triathon.
I think we both predicted Bordeaux, and I think that was one of my safer predictions. I was thinking Bordeaux are just imperious.
Well, we are close to being right.
Yeah, it was.
But I didn't think it was going to be that competitive.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what surprised me, is that Quinns not only won it, but were in that game the whole time.
Yeah.
So
I was kind of a tale of two halves, too. No. This is not, I'm thinking about the wrong game. But this game, they were pretty much.
I felt it was a lot of. It was, you know, it was boxers swinging wild punches without their guards up a lot of the time, which is very much how Quinns play, right?
Yeah.
And I thought there was a couple of guys. I thought Dombrandt had a good game, actually. And I know sometimes we've slagged him off saying he's not the first choice eight for England. I think he's class.
He did have like a noticeable game.
He did.
Like you noticed him when you were watching the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, why don't you play like this?
Yeah.
There's just some guys that are just not test guys.
They don't do it at test level. Some, I don't know what it is, but he was everywhere. Like he was a real workhorse, you know?
Cunningham South was back for this game too. He made an impact.
Yeah, he didn't play a lot of the game though, did he? Did he not come on quite late?
He started the game and he came off after 52 minutes.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking the opposite then. Yeah, when he came off. Yeah.
He did fade out at the end.
Yeah.
But he was carrying the ball. Like,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Every
yeah.
5 seconds, the ball was in his hand.
Yeah. I like him a lot, actually. Yeah.
Man, he's like 21 years old.
I know. He's a big lad as well.
He's huge. He's going to be like a. He's gonna, you know, like you got Courtney Laws like exiting out, and I feel like Cunningham South is like the, you know, he's like passing the shield over to him.
You think so?
Yeah, because they're both like shithousery players.
I was watching a highlights reel of Courtney Laws like about 2 days ago, and I forgot in his early career he was a nasty bastard, and I mean that in a respectful way. Like he was just hurting people, you know.
Oh, he's still
deliberately hurting people.
He's still a unit.
Yeah. But
he doesn't look menacing.
He's got like a bit
he's
of a scowl,
kind of a tall,
but
lanky guy.
He looks lean, doesn't he, for someone who hits like a truck.
So you don't really think much of him. Like I never really thought much of him when I first saw him.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's kind of like I know he's tall, but he's kind of skinny and lanky. He's not gonna be but he's a force.
He is. No, he's a brutal player. And I mean that in a good way, right? Yeah, he's a real warrior.
Let's be some negative about
let's say something negative about the Beagles.
The Beagles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their scrum was pretty average.
It was. I don't want to pick against on one player, but that kick at the end I thought was kickable and it would have won him the game. And I know it's not always on one kick, but that's a bit shit.
I was expecting Bordeaux to take this game.
Mm.
And the players kind of just didn't show up.
I felt to me
like that Garcia, the guy playing 10.
Yeah,
he had a shocker of a game.
Yeah, did a bit. Yeah, he was
even
quiet.
Got a yellow card, and I was just like, man, what are you doing?
I think Harlequins did their homework right. Everyone knows the kind of team they are, like real open attacking game. And I think they knew they had to step up physically, and that's what I'd said about them. I just don't think they had the power game to beat the quarter finalist teams, right? So their homework was shut down their 10, be physical as fuck, and stay in the fight. And I don't think Bordeaux were expecting that, because it looked like in the last 10 minutes, they were still in it, but I think they thought they would be further ahead. So it looked like they kind of let the tiredness get to them a bit, you know?
Also, like, the Harlequins are a hard team to read.
They are, aren't they?
They're fucking all over the place. Yeah,
like even themselves, they don't know what the fuck's going on sometimes, do they?
Yeah.
They'll be 20 points down. They'll be like, should we win now? Yeah, go on then, let's win.
Because I think their like last few games were like all over the place.
They were.
It's like a hammering, and then they get hammered, and then they're hammering and not hammering. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, so like when you look at their like past games and stuff, you don't really, you're like, well, they're probably going to lose or... But man, they show up.
They do.
When they show up, they show up.
They're a quality side, yeah. I just didn't think they were physical enough to do this. And I said last week, I just don't think they have the power to get to a final. I guess I'm wrong again.
Also, because they rested Danny Carrot and Joe Marler.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, so they're kind of holding these guys off. Maybe they're not taking it too serious or something like that. It's only two guys, so I wasn't like... too worried about it. But when I just saw that, I was like, okay, maybe their heart's not in it.
One eye on the Gallagher, not the Champions Cup, maybe.
Yeah. And I was just like, but man, like, what a surprise.
Proved us wrong, eh?
They proved us fucking wrong. They proved the whole world wrong.
Wankers. Proved me wrong.
But they got a challenge ahead of them, though.
I mean, I said that last week. So
yeah, they could win it.
Why not now, eh?
You know what? Because they had a good game this one, so... the next one will probably be a shit game for them.
That's right. Or they'll start 50 points down at halftime and then miraculously come back without conceding another point or something. Fucking, mental.
Yeah, these fucking guys.
Yeah. You've got to imagine that Danny Kerr and Marler, if they're fit, will come back in now to play the next game.
Oh,
you
for
think,
sure.
You think like now we've got to...
I think now that they're in the final four.
Yeah. Let's take it really seriously. Not that they weren't before.
Oh my God. If you look at these... we'll talk about these fixtures after we talk about the games. But these next fixtures...
they're juicy.
Oh my God.
I know. Some mouth-watering games there.
But yeah, Harlequin's fun game.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. It was a real thriller, wasn't it?
It was a thriller.
It was a thriller in Manila, yeah. Or wherever the hell they played. Wasn't it in France? It was in Bordeaux, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was.
Jesus, that's a hell of a win. Fair play.
That stadium was packed, too.
It was packed, yeah. That's a hell of a win.
They pack all the stadiums in the top 14.
I think the French, you know, low-key have the best fan attendance in the world.
I think that's not a low-key thing. I think that's a general consensus.
I guess what I mean is people don't realize it, maybe. I think, you know, France isn't traditionally seen as the rugby country, but their attendances and their fan support are unreal, you know?
Because Dan Bigger was talking about this not too long ago in an interview.
Yeah.
On the Rugby Pod or something. And he was thinking, like, every game is sold out.
Packed out. And it's like they've got the live band, the flares, the flags are waving. It's not just well attended. Like, those fans are real passionate fans, aren't they?
Yeah. When you look at the games, it makes me want to, like, do, like, a top 14 tour.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? Like, South of France French rugby tour. Like, that would be class.
That would actually be really cool. Yeah,
if you have a good time, wouldn't you?
Maybe we should do that instead of the Six Nations.
Yeah, a bit of Six Nations fatigue.
Because it'll be easier to get tickets.
Yeah.
And it'll be way easier. It'll be
easier to get between games, I reckon, as well.
Yeah.
It's the same. Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll be in France.
Yeah, just one country to worry about.
I don't know any French, though.
That's enough.
It was actually kind of shocking how little French I knew.
Yeah.
And how difficult it was to get around there.
Really?
I just didn't know any. Like, I'm from Canada. Like, our second language is French.
Yeah, but no one speaks it here.
No one speaks it. And not I just didn't have, Canada. I didn't even have a foundation to go off of.
I'm surprised by that. I thought you would have done enough school French to be like, ouais, la toilette and all that.
No. I can do that with Spanish.
That's weird.
I can get around in a Latin American country, like, with the minimal Spanish that I know.
Yeah.
In France, it's just like...
Nothing.
It's even hard to pronounce the words.
I find it hard to pronounce the words.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm still up for that. I'm up for a tour of France.
Yeah, let's try that.
It sounds cheaper. Yeah. Leinster.
La Rochelle.
Am I going chronologically here?
I got the list up here.
No, me too.
Yeah. I can call the games you want.
No, it's good. Leinster, La Rochelle. Bit surprising. I mean, I thought Leinster would win. I didn't think they would hammer La Rochelle because they hammered them.
Do you think the traveling...
No, I just don't think La Rochelle was that good that season.
They had to go to South Africa and then back up. They went to Cork.
Yeah.
And then from Cork to Dublin to play the game. Or, yeah. That's all.
I mean, it's a lot of traveling, but my main reason for them not playing well is they're just not as good as they were last year. I saw a lot of Leinster fans online saying, oh, I'm really nervous about this game. And I was like, I don't think you've got any reason to be nervous.
I was too. And I'm not even really a Leinster fan.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be way closer.
You're Leinster adjacent, which gives you some stake in it, you know?
I was just... Leinster are on another level.
They are on another level. Jameson Gibson Park is the best rugby player in this segment of the galaxy right now, isn't he? Like,
he is
quality.
He's... Oh, man, but DuPont this weekend, too. He was smooth operator.
Do you know what?
These two guys... I'm going to say these two guys are...
Best players in the world.
Best players in the world.
The best players in the world.
Definitely the two best nines.
Isn't it mad that in 2024 the two best players in the world are nines? Because that's what I'm sticking to what I've said now. But like traditionally it's a 10 or a forward or something. It's not often a nine is talked about as the best player in the world generally.
It's been a long time since they've had like a star nine.
Yeah.
Where the nine is the rock star of the league.
Yeah.
Like DuPont is probably like the star of rugby.
Because even when Aaron Smith is like still one of my favorite players and he's still one of the best players in the world, but he's not talked about as much in that sense, right? You always talk more about Richie Mwanga being a more important player maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But like this is we're in the cycle of the nines here, you know?
We are in the era of the nines.
We're in the era of the nines.
Because it used to be like the era, or the tens had a long run because Dan Carter was like the face of rugby.
Yeah, you've got Johnny Wilkinson, Dan Carter, Johnny Sexton. Like there's so many tens we talk about because it's like the quarterback, isn't it? Like
it is the
general position.
But like as the stardom goes of the sport.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there was an era where like Dan Carter was on everything.
Yeah.
If they were doing some sort of rugby advertising for rugby.
Yeah.
Dan Carter's face.
Yeah.
Because they weren't putting Richie McCaw's face on anything.
No.
Actually, I remember.
And he's not an ugly guy.
The first time I ever saw Dan Carter.
Yeah.
On anything and knew who he was.
Yeah.
Was in New Zealand. He was like an underwear model for something. I think he was like a Calvin Klein ad and it was on a billboard in New Zealand. They're like, oh, that's Dan Carter, and I'm like, oh. So that's the first time I've ever like seen him like put eyes on who he was, right? So even before what I knew rugby was, I knew who Dan Carter was.
Well, he's a rock star.
I think
though,
DuPont is kind of like to that rock star level of rugby.
I think he is, and he's still young,
because you know Gibson Park, he's not going to be the star.
Bless him as well. He'd obviously tried to give himself a lens to fade, and he forgot forgot to sort of tidy up the top. So you had this like really tight fade.
He looks Amish. Like
he's knocking out furniture for you after the game.
Park, man. Gibson Park. They're not going to put you in a Calvin Klein ad.
He was trying, though.
If you look like you're Amish, he's about to go churn some butter.
Yeah, he does. But he's got the weird beard. Like, it's a bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Immaculate fade. Then a bit of straw for the top of his head, you know? Like,
he needs to do some. Yeah. And then, like, DuPont just looks class.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming with his designer suit out afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, you want him on your ads.
You do. But Jameson Gibson Park doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I'm just playing the best rugby of anyone ever in my life, so mind your business.
You know, it was a standout for me in this Leinster game too. James Lowe again.
Yeah.
He is hitting.
Oh, I know.
He's hitting his stride.
He's incredible.
Yeah, a lot of these Leinster players are starting to like peak.
The right Kiwis now. At Leinster Club is looking pretty good, isn't it? Like, fair play.
Yes,
like,
it is true. The Kiwis at Leinster are starting to peak. James Lowe is peaking.
He's really good. He was just everywhere. He's just hungry to win, isn't he?
He does it all.
He's got this really nice kick as well. Like they get the ball wide to him quickly early in the game. And he's got this boot and he's right on the wing, right? It's a left boot and it just follows the touchline. Like it doesn't go out. He did that one where he kicked it too far, right? Went out on the full. But most of his kicks are like these perfectly straight kicks that just dance along the touchline. Like, and he's obviously practicing them. And then he's just everywhere as well. He wins turnovers. And he had a couple of nice tries, actually, you know? So, yeah, as much as it pains me to say it, he is class.
The only thing about this game, though, was that it was just kind of all... It wasn't really, like, a great game to watch.
It was boring, actually,
wasn't
it? If
you weren't a Leinster fan...
Yeah.
It wasn't a great game to watch.
It was over 30 minutes in.
All Leinster. Yeah. It was just a constant fucking pressure.
It was,
just like the speed that they play at.
Yeah.
Like that ball just gets distributed like so quickly.
Yeah. La Rochelle looked shell shocked, didn't they? They didn't know what the fuck to do.
No, they looked tired.
They did.
They looked a little out of shape.
I kind of sort of tuned out mentally about half an hour in because I was like, this is over.
Yeah. It kind of killed. There was just so much Leinster.
Yeah.
That you kind of knew where it was going.
I never felt threatened by La Rochelle from a Leinster point of view, you know, not at all. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit difficult to talk about in that respect as well, because it was not a competitive game in the end, was it? Not really. There was a lot of really good Leinster performances, like, but what else can you say about it, really?
Leinster only won, like, half their scrums, too. So they still got kind of pumped up in the scrum.
But when they did win, it was kind of emphatic, though.
Yeah.
They really mauled a really physical team there. But, you know, here's what I've been saying for a few weeks, is La Rochelle are not the team they were. I don't know why so many Leinster fans were nervous. You look at their domestic league... They're not playing that well. And you,
if you look at the names they got on the sheet, that's a winning team.
I remember this happened to Toulon where they just kept buying rock stars and they were winning with those rock stars. But there was a couple seasons not that long ago where they had on paper probably the best team in the world.
Yeah.
But they just weren't winning things, right? It's not just about who you got, it's how they're playing, about momentum, all the rest of it, right? Some of these French teams post World Cup as well, they just look knackered. You know, they're not consistent. They just look tired. They're being thrashed in that league.
Aldrit looked pissed in that game, though.
He looked livid, didn't he?
There were sometimes the camera went over to him and he like looked mad at his own team.
He looked exactly.
He's like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah, he looked angry at his own team. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's always playing 10,000%.
He is. Yeah.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Like, but like even Leinster, like they missed more tackles.
Yeah. Well, it didn't feel like it though, did it?
No. So. Like, I mean, you look at the stats, like the stats are, like if you looked at the stats of this game, you'd think this game would have been a lot tighter.
Yeah.
Like the only thing is turnovers. Like the fucking, like La Rochelle turned over the ball like 12 times.
I did not remember that happening. Wow.
Yeah.
That's serious. But
they had less missed tackles. Like.
Yeah. It didn't feel close. It didn't feel like that watching it.
They beat them in the scrum. Their line-out success for La Rochelle wasn't that great.
Yeah, I remember that. There was a few steals.
But like, even like total possession, 51% to 49%.
Yeah, Leinster clinical, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're becoming a bit
felt
like
the when you watch the game, it felt like Leinster had the ball the whole time.
I don't remember a single point in that game thinking, here we go, La Rochelle like on the up.
Right.
I do not remember thinking this is a close, tense game at all. But I don't know. I guess the stats are telling you something different, though. Whatever. I don't even have anything funny to say about it. I'm usually pride myself on a joke once every sort of 10 minutes that's half good, but I don't know.
I don't know who's going to beat. Oh, man. Leinster are so good this year.
Yeah.
They got to win. They're going to win everything.
Toulouse-Leinster is the game everyone wants.
That has to be the game.
And you feel bad for Harlequins and Northampton, particularly Northampton, who have been playing out of their skins.
Yeah.
But I want to see Toulouse-Leinster. I would even fix the game to watch Toulouse-Leinster if I could, you know?
Yeah, because those two are easily the two best.
Oh, just like, the and they've got slightly different styles. They've got all these rock star players like DuPont versus Jameson Gibson Park, right?
Yeah, like that's, like, look at the story right there.
I know. The Battle of the Nines. Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Feel bad for saying that because Northampton deserve where they're at right now. But I would do some kind of political and assassination to see Toulouse Leinster, you know?
That's the game the world wants to see.
It is.
Let's
give us
honest.
What we want. Just get out of the way, Northampton. Give us what we want. Speaking of which, should we talk about Northampton Bulls?
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for Northampton.
Yeah.
Because we didn't kind of get to see where they're really at.
Yeah.
That's the problem about this game.
Yeah.
It's like we didn't get to see, like, now... Like, we don't know what kind of team is going into, because they beat an injured, like, they're good.
Yeah.
But they beat a pretty fucking injured up Munster team. And they kind of, at first, they were struggling.
It was close.
Yeah.
It was a tight game.
And they beat, like, a Bulls B team. And
yeah, we have to.
And it was close. The first half was close, too.
Yeah.
Right. Until they like ran away with it. They scored like six tries or something like that.
It's. I want to not tread carefully. I don't need to be careful about what I say. I just want to. The things I want to talk about, I want to put them in different boxes because they're each worth talking about on their own, right? Mm-hmm. So the story I want to talk about first is everyone remembers Lyon Bulls, the last round of 16 fixture, and you were saying fuck Lyon. You were like, how dare they disrespect the competition by putting out a B team when they were playing the Bulls. That was a 42-36 the Bulls, right? So reasonably close game, despite the fact Lyon had put out a B team. Mm-hmm. And then almost, it's like passing the buck of the B team going on now, because then the Bulls play Northampton. It's like, now it's our turn to play a B team. And like you said, they weren't hammered in the first half. That scoreline is a little bit, not flattering, but it doesn't reflect how well the Bulls played for a good amount of that game, right? Yeah.
The second half, though, they got opened up.
They did get opened up.
They got fucking turned over.
Yeah.
Like, and fucked by Northampton.
It does. Yeah, totally. But the second thing I want to say about that is, because we probably will talk about the investigation by the Champions Cup into the Bulls, putting out B team, right? But the first thing I want to say is, where was that talk when that Lyon did that, right? If that's your problem, and I've got my own issues with South Africans being in this competition, right? I've talked about that, but this is a totally different issue. It's like, if you're going to say, yeah, Lyon put out a B team and then Bulls beat that B team, why are you not applying the same logic to the Bulls doing it?
There's been a lot of opinions on this situation.
Yeah.
And like last week, I'm bitching about Lyon.
Yeah, right.
And I'm saying this is fucking insulting.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Not a peep from anyone.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, they put out a B team. Mm. That's a top 14 team, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Bulls did it and people lost their fucking minds.
They did lose their fucking
minds. I agree with them. I think you should lose your fucking mind over this, because in my eyes, this is exactly the same thing as what Lyon did. You should be just as angry at
Lyon.
That's
what I'm saying.
And the Bulls,
yeah,
right? The thing I think that people are pissed off about is because like South Africa got invited in to a tournament, right, that they really wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And then they kind of insult it. It's like they're like, oh, can I please come to your party? Can I please come to your party? I'm like, yeah. Oh, I just really want to be at your party. I'll do anything to come to your party. Yeah, sure, come to my party. And then they show up like, oh, this party sucks. Like, what the fuck? You just begged to be in here.
Yeah.
We let you in.
Brought the cheapest bottle of wine you could fucking think of.
Yeah, and now you're going to knock my party? Like, you're going to diss it?
I think differently. I think I like that analogy to an extent. And, you know, I've talked about the fact I don't like South African teams being in the European Championship, right? And I think it's purely geographical for me. Mm-hmm. They have... If I was a South African, what I'd be pissed off about this media narrative is the hypocrisy, and B, this is about money at the end of the day, right? The Champions Cup... They ask for a certain number of players on your roster, right? Tell us who's playing in this competition. Mm-hmm. There's a number for it. I don't know what it is. There's a number for it. If the Champions Cup organization say you have to provide us with a list of, I don't know how many it is, let's say it's 38, I can't fucking remember. And they give you 38 people on a list. These are who is eligible to play. And then they pick a 23 out of that, whatever. You can't be pissed off about it. It's like...
Yeah, you can.
Why though?
Yeah, you can. Because... Okay, you name your whole roster, but you know the quality because you're.
But that's like a championship cup problem,
fans,
right?
And everyone knows who the good players are and who are the bad players.
But what I'm saying is, if that's your complaint, which I think is a reasonable complaint, that's on the Champions Cup, not the team.
It's clearly like taking. It's clearly this is the strangest thing about this whole thing.
Mm.
I just like I. If it is a financial thing, okay. Yeah. It's just strange. Like they wanted South Africa was so horny to like fucking win this tournament.
Yeah.
To put them on the map and like, yeah, we conquered Europe. We came in and conquered Europe.
Yeah.
Like that. And they just threw it away deliberately.
Mm.
I was like, it doesn't make any sense. Like the motivation, like the only thing I can think of is like some external pressure to not go further in the tournament.
Conspiracy.
Because of finances.
We haven't done a conspiracy.
Like, we just
in a
can't
while.
Afford to like fucking go back.
Maybe they can't though. They can't afford it.
That has to be the only reason, because I cannot think of a logical reason of why, because they legit threw this game. They legit threw it.
You think so?
Oh yeah, 100%. They legit threw it.
Yeah.
And I just don't see like I can't find the motivation behind it other than it was financial reasons. Like we can't afford to go further.
Yeah.
With this. Right? You guys are going to be bussing to...
like maybe I've got someone like Willie LaRue who plays for the Bulls, or I've got someone who's his backup fullback. The plane ticket for both of them costs the same amount of money. So it's hard for me to believe that financial... I mean, maybe the finances are applied elsewhere, but you pick...
You see how strange it sounds? It's weird. Like, why did they do this? Like, what is the motivation? Like, why did they throw this game? Because it's evidently they left like 13 players that played the previous weekend. They left them.
Maybe it's just too much fucking rugby. They've come from Super Rugby, which is a much shorter season, and now they're in two separate competitions, the URC and the Champions Cup. And this year, the Champions Cup pool stages were fucking ridiculous.
The other teams can do it.
But that's because they used to it.
La Rochelle went down to the Stormers of the full fight.
But if you look at the finances of La Rochelle compared to...
So it is a financial thing then?
Oh, definitely. But I'm just saying, how is that finance applied, right? How is it affecting them?
Like, could they just not afford to...
Are they playing players by game?
Because they know that if
someone like Willy LaRue costs more money to play than someone else, maybe.
Because they know if they keep going into the tournament, they would have to do more away games.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because that's another point, right? It's like if they win, then they've got to do another away game out. They've got to fly back to South Africa, fly back. A flight of 23 players is not cheap, right? It's thousands.
But they're playing, they do playing, I'm pretty sure when they come back, they have two home games in the URC.
Yeah.
I think almost all their games are in the URC are home games.
Yeah.
So they would just have to travel away
for the
champion.
For the knockouts.
Yeah, for the Champions Cup.
And if they win a certain amount of games, they could get a home quarter, a home semi as well.
I like the narrative that like people were saying, like, man, you guys got invited to the party.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like pooped on it.
I know. And I'm usually the guy blasting that trumpet. And I'm like, why are the South Africans here? Why are you even here? You don't belong here. Yeah. This is our European competition, which I know it sounds exclusionary, but...
They even pooped on me because I'm a big like supporter of them being in
I know
there.
You are. You're usually
I love
like...
Yeah. having them in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Because they're good teams. They're good players.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see these guys play these like big European clubs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I love the narrative. Like, I love like how their finances are not as good.
Yeah.
But they're still the best players in the world.
Yeah.
And they... I love that whole narrative behind it.
Yeah.
Right. And then, but like they kind of pooped on me because they just like,
it's confusing, isn't it?
It's just weird. The motivation behind it. It's like, I can't put my finger
why
on
did
it.
So that's why I wanted to say about this game and that story. I wanted to put them in different boxes because they each have their own context. Right. But for me, the main thing I'm trying to say is if I was a South African Bulls fan, I would be pissed at the hypocrisy of it, right? Like, you didn't have a go at Leon, but you're going to have a go at us. Fuck off. Like, I'd be pissed about that. I agree with a lot of what you said. It's like, it does sound like they've not thrown it, but known that they're putting out a weaker team than they could. And why have they done that? It doesn't make any sense why they've done that, right?
Because if travel's a huge issue, like, don't lose games. Like, you have an option to, like, not... Yeah. travel during knockout stages and stuff.
Do you know who's got the biggest chip on their shoulder as well? South African fans. And for no fucking... They've got two World Cups and they say, we've got a point to prove to you guys. Like, what point have you got to prove? You're fucking amazing at rugby. Relax. Like, we know you're amazing. Like, relax. We're going to show you guys. Shut up. Like, what?
Yeah, calm down. I would... If I was... But I seriously, though, like, you made a point. Like, I would be fucking mad if I was a Bulls fan and you're getting slack when Leon did the same thing
because they're being investigated. That's the mad thing, right? It's like all of a sudden it's like Leon, everyone hates you because you put out a B team, but whatever, it's just shit, you've devalued the competition. Bulls do it, it's like, no, official investigation. Like, what are they going to investigate? The people they put on the list of players at the start, you knew who was eligible to play. That's who we played.
And French clubs like putting in a B side in the Champions Cup is nothing new.
That's par for the course, isn't it?
Yeah, they just do it and they're like, oh yeah, it's okay, you guys do it.
But Leinster did it last year as well. Granted, it wasn't like a complete B team.
But they did in the URC.
Right, but like, what's the difference?
They didn't do it in the Champions Cup.
What's the difference, though?
It's the cream of the crop.
Well, that depends on who's looking at it though, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be the best of the best. That's the whole aura around it.
Right, but I'm saying that's, even if that's true, it's still subjective, isn't it? They still did it, you know? They still put out a B team, although...
They didn't put out a B team in the Champions Cup.
No, but they put out a B team in the URC and it backfired.
Yeah.
And it backfired. At the end of the day, like, you know...
You can't do that in the Champions Cup. But
at the end of the day as well, you make a choice and it fucks you. Bulls made a choice, they lost. Leon made a choice, they lost.
It's just that
made
they
a choice,
knew
they
were,
lost.
They did, they're not going to be surprised they lost. They knew they were going to lose.
That's what I find... I don't necessarily believe that.
They didn't go into that game thinking they were going to win.
I don't believe that.
When you make 13 changes and you take all your starters out and you fucking leave them at home...
Yeah.
Like, you know you're going to lose this game. You know you're going against like a fucking really good team, Northampton, right? You know they're a rock star team.
Yeah.
There's no way they were like, oh yeah, we're going to pull this one out. We really have faith. There's no way.
It's either arrogance or deliberate, maybe.
Those guys know rugby in and out. They know exactly what they're doing. They know rugby more than probably the rest, more than a lot of people in the world. They knew exactly the outcome of that game.
I just can't imagine... any professional rugby player ever go into a game thinking we're definitely going to lose this at professional level?
Oh, the players?
Yeah.
No, the players thought that, probably thought they could win it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the coaches and the staff and stuff like that, they're making all these decisions and shit. Right. They know. Okay. They know what's going on. Because the whole world, if you and I as casual fans can see that they were going to go there and get pumped, right, then...
The coaches know
The fucking coaches that are getting paid like tons of money to analyze the game, they fucking already know.
Well, I predicted Harlequins would lose, so what the fuck do I know? You know?
So, yeah, it's strange. It's a strange...
It is weird. It's giving me chills. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
It's like a spooky rugby story.
It's been a spooky season, actually, hasn't it? Yeah.
Because like, I don't know. I really want to know what was the main motivation behind this.
A lot of cloak and dagger shit going on in rugby this year.
Yeah, because it's like just so strange. Like, why would they... Because that's the last thing. When I saw that they did that, and I saw the drastic change...
It was drastic as well.
It wasn't like, oh, yeah, we left like three Willie LaRue home. Yeah. It wasn't like the Harlequins that took out Danny Carey and Joe Marler.
Yeah. It wasn't like the whole fucking team.
Yeah, it was like the whole team. Yeah. And so I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Strange. Ooh. That's what it was like.
Conspiracy mill so is churning again.
Spooky. But let's talk about Northampton. We kind of like, we kind of forgot about those guys.
All right. Say something about Northampton. Good at rugby? you've blown your load now, haven't you? You've got nothing to say about Northampton playing amazing. Why do we always focus on the negative? Oh, we hate rugby, don't we? That's
the hating of rugby.
Yeah, I guess that's those clicks. Northampton are really good at rugby. What do you think? Discuss.
They're pretty good.
59 points is class. Not even the highest fucking score this weekend, mind.
When you look at Finn Smith play.
Yeah.
And how good he is.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, when I was watching that game, I was like, man, Borthwick, like, what the fuck? Like, how could you just sit on a guy like that?
That is a good talking point, right? It's like
how can you just sit on a fucking guy like that?
It's not the only one, though, man. Like, there must be 10 players in the Gallagher Premiership who are way better than the guy holding the England jersey above them, right? And I always think about Zach Mercer. Like, every time I've watched him play in a losing Gloucester team a lot of the time, he has class, you know? And like we talk about Dom Brandt. I like Dom Brandt, but he just hasn't made the step up to international level. Give Mercer a chance. Definitely give Finn Smith a chance. Start starting Alex Mitchell in England games. Like, what are you doing by not doing that, right? As soon as Feiwa Boso started, he was class for England, right? Like, what? Like, anyway.
And he almost, like, didn't get played.
I know. England's selection policy is mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, like, Borthwick's, he's got that. He's one of those coaches that like picks the like his favorites, I guess.
Maybe. He's scared of change or something.
Because, like Finn Smith is a fucking rock star.
Yeah.
And when you're watching it, when you're watching him play, all you're thinking is like, what did like Borthwick see that the rest of us didn't? Like, what was the hole in his game?
Yeah.
Like, what was this like thing that was holding him back?
Because he's good defensively.
He's and good at everything.
We could have this conversation. If England were on a different timeline, we could be talking about who's starting Marcus Smith or Finn Smith, like two of the most dynamic tens in the fucking world right now.
I think we're a couple of years
from
having that conversation.
Yeah.
I think those two guys, like the way things are going right now, that's going to be the conversation.
I hope so. Because England have quietly got two of the best tens in the world happening right now, you know? And there's and like, I don't mind George Ford, but he's not dynamic like those guys, is he? You know, like he's your backup 10 you bring on 20 minutes left to win the game. He's not the guy you start.
Yeah, but he's safe.
He is safe.
He's the safe boyfriend. He's
I don't want to slag him because he's a class, but you know.
You know, he's not very good at cheat on me.
Yeah, he's not the best looking, but.
Yeah, like that's exactly what he is. And man, if you're an English fan, you'd probably just be pissed.
Yeah.
Because like I can't think of like anyone, like I know there's like in Ireland, there's players that are good that should be on the team that Farrell isn't picking.
Yeah.
But when you look at his squad,
it's not as bad as that though, is it?
No, it's
like one or two, and even then it's contentious.
Yeah, it's super, and you can have a good argument.
You can, yeah.
Right?
Because you know, look at Leinster, right? Was it Ross Byrne got man of the match against La Rochelle, and you've got Jack Carty. Jack Carty is still a better 10 in my opinion, but it's not that different, is it?
Wait a second. Are you talking about Jack Carty from Connacht? or Jack Crowley.
Fucking hell, I get this. They've all got the same slightly phonetically similar name, these Irish tens. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, you're right. Jack Crowley is, in my opinion, the best ten in Ireland, right? I don't think that's a controversial thing to say. But the other guys aren't that far off. Like Kieran Frawley could put a 10 and I'd be like, he's pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
But in England, it's like George Ford is a good player, but he's a very different type of player mm-hmm. to Finn Smith and Marcus Smith, right?
I find it's his lack of his offensive creativity.
Yes.
Like he just doesn't have that like X factor.
He's not breaking the line, is he?
No, he's just doing his, like he does everything that a stereotypical
stands deep, bosses people around, kicks some drop goals in a good way.
Yeah. Distributes the ball.
Yeah.
But like, he's not creative enough like these two.
No. And when Marcus Smith plays, he opens defenses up and then he's got someone like Faye Wabosso to pick that, grab that ball and run in a try. Yeah. George Ford just doesn't get the ball to the
back.
He's like
dynamic. He'll take the ball. He'll hit because what Marcus Smith will do is he'll take the game into his own hands.
Yeah, he will.
He'll grab the ball and just go for a run.
And he'll break the fucking line.
He'll give it his all. Right. I've never seen George Ford do that. Yeah. He might have done that. He might do that. But
yeah, no, he has done that. But not. That
I
often,
have
right?
never seen him like you just grab the ball and take the game into his own hands.
Yeah.
And just like run away with it and stuff. Like yeah, I guess yeah, he yeah. kind of did that when he played Argentina when he was just like sniping those like yeah, drop but, kick goals.
Yeah.
But. His, like, you know how he just, like, grabs the ball? You know who does that, too? Like,
Richie Mwanga.
Yeah, Richie Mwanga. But you know what's really good at doing that is, like, DuPont, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, he just grabs the ball and he's like, fucking, I'm going to win this game for myself.
Tyke Byrne in a very different way.
I can't remember his name. The scrum half for the All Blacks. Aaron Smith.
Yeah.
Aaron Smith will just, like, create shit. He's like, fuck it. Yeah. I'm going to make something happen
here.
I'm going
to do something now. Yeah.
Right? And just like completely do something amazing. Yeah. And like George Ford just doesn't have that in his game.
No, when he's getting on. But you know. He's like
32, 31?
I don't know.
Is he even in his 30s? He's got
to
be up there.
I don't know, to be honest. But he's been playing for a while. You know, he's probably 6, 7, 8 years older than those other guys. Anyway, long story short, if I was an English fan, I'd be like, why are you not picking these guys? A class. And Northampton are very good at rugby.
Northampton are really good at rugby.
Yeah. Do you think we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll talk about the games. We'll talk about the next games after this. Let's get to...
The surprise of the weekend. Not really. the scoreline is a surprise of the weekend. Toulouse, Exeter.
This game went exactly how I thought it was going to go.
We predicted an Exeter loss. I didn't predict a hammering like that. 64
I was actually
points.
More surprised by the... I was actually more surprised by how more... Because I thought Toulouse, I thought it was going to be 64-26 or 64-15 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought they would... dominate the whole game.
Yeah.
Because I think at halftime it was tied or it was like super close.
Mm.
Or thinking like Exeter might have been up by a point.
Mm. But 64 points. That looks like an Alberta rugby club score from the weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like that's
it does.
A fucking trouncing. Like I don't care how much you're in the game at halftime. That's
what was there like they scored like fucking what was it? So yeah, at halftime it was 17-16.
Right.
For Toulouse.
Right.
And then it just goes on like, Kinghorn. Mm. Kinghorn, like Aki, Kinghorn, DuPont. Like, what was it? 1, 2, 3, 4 tries in a row. 4 tries in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They go on.
You can say what you want about them being good, but that also has to be some shit defending, right? You have to talk about Exeter's defense as well. Like,
I think it was experience, and their squad is just, it's not a Toulouse squad.
No, they're young, aren't they? And yeah. Exeter really got like a real homegrown talent feeling going on, and they're young guys.
Yeah.
But like, I wanted more from Exeter. I thought Toulouse would win that, but... Like,
I thought they gave them exactly what Exeter had.
Yeah.
For the with the toys that what's it,
Rob Baxter's the Exeter coach.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what he had to use, I thought they did exactly
what he could.
What he could.
Really? 64 points?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You're talking like, man, the money.
Exeter are supposed to be one of the best teams in the Gallagher Premiership.
Yeah, but
you
if
know?
You probably look at the pay.
Yeah.
And the quality, like
I'm gonna write that down that you said that, because every time I bring money and finances in, you're like, no, shut up.
Just think about this, okay?
Yeah.
Just think about this, okay? This is just the story thing, okay?
Uh-huh.
Blair Kinghorn's tearing it up.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you know what, Kinghorn?
Yeah.
We'll give you a rest. Go off. We'll just bring on fucking What's his name? Fucking Thomas Ramos. That's
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, hey bud, we'll fucking yeah. That's like that's the quality of the side they have.
Go
you
have
know
a
what?
Beer.
Go have a break. We're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Because we got the other best fullback in the world yeah. that we'll bring on. Like
no, I agree with you. I don't like that that's true in
hey,
a way.
Hey, Surreal Bale. You know, or is it, what's the fuck, what's his name? No, what's yeah, Malvaca Hooker. Hey, go off. We'll bring in Julia Marchand in. Like, yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that's the quality of side that Toulouse has. And you're talking, there's probably millions more
this
in salary.
This is going to be a nice segue into the Barrett at Leinster story. Well, and I'm not going to ruin it just yet because I know we're both excited to talk about it, right? But it's starting to look a bit like football, like soccer, right? Where money talks too much. A squad can be so deep and powerful, you just don't stand a chance. And if what you're saying is true, that's what's up with Exeter right
now,
yeah.
Right? Oh yeah, 100%. This was a money versus non. This was a money game.
And I would say that's been happening for 3 or 4 years, but it's starting to just make.
But that's the top 14.
But here's the thing, right? Exeter are not dragons, you know?
No,
they're not dragons.
You're expecting too much out of this team. You're expecting Maybe. Them to be there's some what's going on here? Who hurt you from Exeter? Something's going on.
I like Exeter.
You have some kind of like ulterior. There's something going on
you
deep.
Think so? Something spooky.
Yeah, you got something like what's going on? What's with you in Exeter? What's really going on?
You know what's going on with
like,
me.
Like I'm
gonna
bring up
you
the
know, think about
where
it.
Did Exeter touch
no,
you?
No, you need to think about it. Okay, because there is something you need to think about it. Who have Exeter got on their team?
All the fucking young Welsh players.
All the fucking young Welsh
that's
players.
That's why.
It's our future.
Fucking,
it's our
that's
future.
Why you're being extra fucking harsh on them.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I'm thinking, I'm sitting here, and you're like, just being unrationally like, man, they have a young squad, and they,
yeah.
You know, the budget between the two teams is finite.
They've got the Welsh Six
like,
Nations.
They should have been better. This is pathetic. Like, what the fuck are you going on about? Yeah, there's
maybe.
Some. You got some fucking Welsh trauma going on
yeah,
in this team.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have. Yeah, I fucking told, have. Shut up about it.
I just totally called you right out.
No,
on
you
it.
Fucking didn't. Took you fucking long enough.
Yeah, because something was like, what's going on here? Like, look at these. Look at these teams. Bad.
64 points, though, man. Against Exeter.
I was expecting this.
Were you?
Yeah.
I knew Toulouse would win.
And I don't think Exeter should feel bad about it.
Okay. Yeah. I think you're being too nice on them, to be honest.
No, like, they're young kids. They're going to be one of the best teams in Europe.
They should be right now. That's what I'm saying.
No.
They won it a few years ago.
Yeah, with a different squad.
Yeah, but, you know, come on.
Like,
continuity.
This is like a different squad. No, you got to give them time. Rob Baxter's already taken his team way farther than anyone expected.
Yeah.
Like, when at the beginning... Like even when we started this podcast and before
yeah,
that,
yeah.
People weren't expecting anything from Exeter.
I think you weren't. I remember you saying
no,
that.
No, the whole world was that. They're like, no one was expecting shit from these guys.
All right.
So they've already exceeded like everything.
Who did Exeter? I want to Google who Exeter beat in the last round of 16. Actually, do you know what? Let's leave it. I'm getting there. Too down, far down the rabbit hole. They beat someone and they must have been impressive. I can't remember. Glasgow? Is it Glasgow? No, that was Harlequins.
No. Oh, yeah, it was.
Bath? Did they beat
no,
Bath?
No, it was... Wasn't it a French team?
Maybe. I think we should move on.
Okay. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. Don't bring it up again and we'll be fine.
Fucking
about that.
Exeter. Took all our players.
The fucking Welsh Academy boys got slammed by Toulouse.
There was one DuPont try where he just grabbed the ball and he just ran through everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm watching him do this and he's like, when he had that ball, they're like, there's yeah. no one stopping him.
Yeah.
There is no yeah. one fucking stopping
he's surprisingly
him.
Fast for someone who has like, you know, he looks like quite a squat man, doesn't he?
And it looks nippy. Like Antimac has not missed a beat.
Yeah, he hasn't, has he?
Like, for being out for a year and just coming in and being ace again.
You know, in The Matrix, where they put that needle in the back of your head and you learn Kung Fu? Like, when he was injured, they put the fucking needle and they were just, like, uploading rugby data yeah. to him. Like, he's class.
I know rugby now.
they beat Bath, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, Bath is
And sure. Where are they in the Prem? Where are they standing in the Prem?
Actually, I just clicked standings. And they're way lower than I thought. Maybe I had a different team in mind. Six? I thought they were like third.
So you got to make it to top four to get the knockout stages, right? Is it top four only that get into the knockout stages in the Prem?
I think so. Yeah, they're not even a playoff spot. No, that can't be
How
right.
many points? Does it show how many points there are? Or are you doing the Google thing?
No, they are joint four. They're joint 40 with Bristol, who are above them. I think I'm thinking of a different team. I don't know who Exeter are.
All I know is that you have some deep trauma going on. You need some therapy with this fucking...
I think we need to not record on a Monday night. That's what's happening. I'm just tired and sad. Let's talk about Jordy Barrett going to...
Do you want to talk about Jordy Barrett? Or do you want to like just kind of comment on the next games? Or do you want to wait till these games are like the next weekend and then call them?
Because sounds like you have an agenda here. Because I've got written down Jordy Barrett. Hang on, my dog's really upset as well.
Just don't worry about it.
Okay, we'll keep going.
Yeah. We'll wait. Let's talk about Jordy Barrett.
I don't have a lot to say, really, other than big, like, why? Why are they doing that?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. I think
he's only got a 6 months contract.
Yeah. So that's even weirder, though.
So it's only 6 months.
Like, why is he specifically going for 6 months?
Because of the money.
Yeah, but is he not making decent money? He could go to Japan and make double that, surely.
I was reading he's got like family and shit.
Oh, he does? In Ireland?
Yeah. Oh. Something's going on there. Maybe they used to live there. Mm. I just briefly was like reading like the headline stuff.
Yeah.
And I was reading something about he says like, oh, I can't wait to see some old friends and family and stuff.
Fair enough.
So maybe they spent some time there or something, or
just destination rugby vacationing for the All Blacks.
Yeah, 6 months. Do you know
what? I can't think of it. Okay, here's what I wanted to say about it. I can't think of many times where, you know, a lot of All Blacks will go play for other teams, right? Usually they sort of go at the end of their career or they take a bit of a sabbatical and they don't play for the All Blacks. Can't remember like an All Black who is getting picked if he's playing for the All Blacks going to another club on the other side of the world. Usually when All Blacks do that, it's like when they're at the end of their career or something. He's in his prime. Why is he going to fucking... That doesn't happen very often.
They're putting it in their contracts now. Mm. So a lot of these players now, these All Black players,
yeah,
they're putting it in their contracts like a sabbatical session. Right. So they sign a national contract,
yeah,
but in that contract they're allowed to play in a different country for a certain amount of time.
God, imagine you could.
So they're all
that.
Putting that in there. It's like a new thing. They're all putting this so they're allowed to go and play in Japan,
yeah,
and then come back.
And they're not going to lose their reputation in the All Black squad. They'll still probably have a spot waiting for them.
Yeah, so they're locking because it's just, and I think it's a good idea from. I think it's actually a good thing from. An All Blacks.
Yeah, makes sense. Give them a rest, right? Get them refreshed.
Yeah, and it's getting them like, it's kind of getting around the whole totally losing them.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know what? You can go play.
Just like let the leash be a little bit looser, yeah, sort of thing so they don't feel constrained.
Yeah, go play in Europe for a season.
Learn a different style of rugby. Yeah. Come back and tell us about it.
And you're still going to be looked at as if you're playing here.
We're not going to look at you like you betrayed us and left us. We give you our goodwill.
You're
come
not
back,
the boys club.
You go study them. Come and tell us how they play.
It's basically a boys club clause. Still in the boys club if I leave, right?
Yeah. If some cool up-and-coming 12 comes like, no, don't worry, he's a piece of shit. We got you back. I don't care how good he is. I love you, Jordy. Yeah.
From a Leinster perspective, I thought he was coming for like the whole season and stuff like that, so I was kind of more... bitter about it because I think you should like Ireland just have so much talent coming through their system.
Yeah,
it's like why waste time on like bringing in him when you like if they didn't have the talent, if they were kind of like in like dire straits, if they're like kind of like in a like a toilet full of shit like Wales. You know, if they're kind of like this totally,
we give people permission to play Exeter. Okay, we give them permission.
Like if they were like a total shit, garbage, pathetic.
Yeah, you made
union,
your point. Shut the fuck up. Get on with it.
But like if they were in a situation like Wales were.
Or Ulster.
You know, then I would say like, okay, but like when you look at the talent that's coming through for Ireland.
Yeah.
Like they got guys all over the place. Like
or do Leinster. Okay, my Ulster thing was a joke, but also it's Leinster that have all this talent coming through. Munster do to an extent. But it looks like Ulster and Connor and to a lesser extent Munster are all fucking pissed about this.
Oh man, if you look online,
oh,
the comments
those Irish
on this,
rugby forum.
Yeah, they
oh, that
are
is fucking,
ju-
they are fucking
all
mental.
Over it.
They hate each other, don't they?
Yeah.
But I said to you the other day, I think that's a good thing. I'm a bit pissed off with Welsh people going, oh, you know, I'll cheer for any Welsh region. No, fuck that. Cardiff, you know? I'm not cheering for the fucking Ospreys, the fucking Hairsprays. I'm not cheering for the Dragons. Like, fuck that. You should have competition and rivalry in your domestic league, you know?
You don't cheer for the Dragons?
Oh, I do, but not, like, actively.
They're like the little engine that could.
I know. I'm sympathetic. But you know when Ospreys are flying high and they're like, we're flying the flag for Welsh rugby. I don't give a shit about that, right? Good for you. I don't care. I want Cardiff to win. And if Dragons are playing Cardiff, I'd cheer for Cardiff. Even if the narrative was, oh, he's showing up with a little broken leg and he's 10 years old and this little boy is their mascot. I'd like, I don't give a fuck.
I'm cheering for Cardiff.
Yeah, because that's my team. But I think I respect that about Ireland. They've got enough of a healthy domestic game that they can have those rivalries. It feels like in Wales, we're so success poor right now. We'd cheer for a Nazi if he was playing and winning. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's a Welsh Nazi. Let's cheer for him. You know?
I guess this is what we got.
I got any other choice. Like, I better cheer for him. No, like, fuck that. So it's good. What I'm saying is all this kind of internal hatred that's going on in Irish rugby, the little, you know, mudslinging, that's a sign of health, actually.
Yeah. And you know? Still, like, you see Ulster, you see Munster, you see Connacht. Like, these teams are always signing, like, big stars from around the world,
I mean,
too.
Kitsoff didn't work out. RG Snyman didn't work out, but they were still big signings, weren't they?
Yeah, the difference between Leinster and those guys is that the people that they signed didn't work for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what they bring over worked for them.
Yeah.
Right? So they just got a smarter team.
Well, they got more money. They got more money.
They got more money, but something's like, they got like extra money though.
They do have extra money.
Because like the funding, I would ideally think that it's all the same funding going to each four clubs.
Don't be naive.
Right?
You know that's not true. Don't be naive.
It's probably pretty close.
Don't be naive.
But they got some extra money.
Of course they do. They've got six private schools feeding into that team.
Yeah.
You know?
So they have the Leinster League. They have their own league.
Yeah, exactly.
Over there.
Yeah. So you know that's not true.
They also have the population.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Like that, there's that too. They have like the majority of
Dublin is like the tech capital of Europe. You know what I mean? It's not bloody Galway, is it?
And if I would probably think, like, I don't know the whole like population geography of Ireland, but I would assume the majority of population.
It's about 3 million in Dublin area, right?
Yeah, in that whole area there, and then probably, you know, the half hour, 20 minutes outside of that area.
Yeah,
is probably like where the majority of people live.
Yeah,
so they got that going for them too.
Yeah,
so they're in the capital.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things going for them that the other.
Yeah. And there's some bad luck from Ulster and Munster. You know, Stephen Kitsoff didn't work out. That feels like bad luck. And RG Snyman, as much as it's like kind of funny, it's not his fault. It's kind of his fault because he did burn his leg in a barbecue, but still, he didn't mean to do that.
No.
His lack of appearances isn't for want of lack of trying, is it?
No.
Although he will be healthy for every Leinster and Springbok game in the future.
You better fucking believe he's going to be. He's going to be like...
Amazing.
He's going to be probably the player they're going to talk about all over the world. He's the best player in the world right now.
I remember him playing against the Ospreys the other day. He was class.
Yeah.
Like, he came and played for Munster. He played his 20 minutes and he was fucking amazing. Like, I would be pissed if I was a Munster fan. They paid a lot of money to watch him warm a bench. And he's amazing, you know?
I wonder what time of the year Geordie's going to come in and where they're going to use him.
That's what I can't figure out. Like,
because they're probably going to use him when the Irish boys are gone.
Six Nations window, maybe?
Yeah, it'll probably be the Six Nations window.
Yeah, and Snyman and Geordie Barrett during the Six Nations window would be pretty handy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Two literal, like, the best, two best team in the world, two of the best players for you. It's not bad, is it?
I wonder where he's going to play.
12.
Because he does play in the centers. He does also do fullback really well, too.
He does, but I can't imagine... I don't know, Hugo Keenan will be away.
Yeah, give Hugo Keenan a break.
It's interesting with Frawley, isn't it? Because he could play 10 and 15, but you'd imagine he'd be in the Ireland training squad. Like,
yeah, you got Kieran Frawley. What do you need?
The depth is mental.
Geordie...
That's what I can't figure out. That's why I put him at 12. But then again, it's not like they've got like lack of depth at 12, you know? Anyway.
No.
Fucking Ringrose, fucking Henshaw, like... Whatever,
they got a lot of players.
Oh,
so
I know.
I was just kind of like, why?
Yeah, that's what I wrote. Why?
But it's only six months.
Yeah, I think we made a mountain out of a molehill there. Anyway,
I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah. I want to mention one more thing, and then we'll do some predictions.
Or
just going straight to predictions.
For what?
I just want to say that I like the Melbourne Rebels beating the Highlanders, even though. Highlanders are now my team because of Reece Patchell. I now think, fuck them, let's go Australian teams. I just like these Australian teams winning Super Rugby games. It's making me happy. Like,
it makes the narrative better. I thought, because you were saying earlier that, like, you thought rugby in Australia was dead.
I thought it was dead on its ass.
Like dead, dead.
Yeah, like I didn't think they had players coming through at all. And there's some nice surprises happening in Australia.
I think that was the main narrative. Like I think this, when the Super Rugby season started, everyone was thinking that Australia is going to be a fucking joke.
Yeah.
That's what they were expecting.
They've had a couple of bits of last, like Joe Schmidt getting the coaching job and the Rebels getting that last minute money save the other day. Like they've had some really good timing, fortuitous news, and they really needed it. And not only that, but their teams are actually winning games on the field. And I'm like, where are these players come from? This is amazing. I just thought they just, nobody was coming through. Don't know enough about it, obviously, but it is good. We need Australia to be good. You want a good Lions tour? You want a good World Cup? You need a good Australia, right? This could be bad for world rugby if Australia shit.
I just like the surprise.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I think everyone was like, yeah, they're going to be stomped. What's the point of watching Super Rugby?
Because
it's going to be the Crusaders winning it. And that,
like, and that isn't even happening. They're shit now.
This season has been really like a fucking crazy.
If you want the World Club Rugby World Cup of the world to be good, you need a good Super Rugby as well. And we're getting a good it's competitive, you know? So, you know, there's lots. I'm happy about that.
I wonder, because like right now the best team in Super Rugby is the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I think they'll win, eh?
Based I wonder if the a prime Hurricanes versus prime Leinster Toulouse. Oh,
I don't care. I don't care.
You wouldn't want to watch that?
Because they wouldn't play each other when they're both at their peak.
Stop that.
Stop.
We're talking fantasy here.
Let's talk, but we're not talking fantasy because it's going to happen.
They're both in the...
It's going to happen and I don't want it to. I want it to just remain a fantasy.
Yeah, I know. You just want Welsh teams to play Welsh teams. I want to leave you guys alone.
Yep, that'd be nice.
it's a Welsh cave.
No, I want to get hammered by English teams. I've told you this.
That's all you care about.
That's all I care about. I've told you this.
As long as you're playing an English team, yeah, and that's
exactly.
It.
As long as I can get a train to an England game and they beat us, I'm happy. That's all I ever wanted in life.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to fantasize about Toulouse playing the Hurricanes. I don't care.
Oh, that'd be fucking sick.
Look what's happening now, right? The juiciest matchup of all time, Leinster versus Toulouse. And imagine you're building up to that. You're building up to that. And then someone says, nope, we're going to play the Hurricanes. And I haven't been watching Super Rugby and I don't care. And Toulouse play Hurricanes and probably smash
them. Well, if
them.
They play right now, like if they're going to play now or a month from now, both the teams are going to be in their primes. Both the teams are priming in now.
Yeah, they're priming up. Yeah. There's a very brief window.
If they
window.
Did play right now,
there's
and
a very
it was for
brief
keeps,
window. Yeah.
And it was for keeps,
yeah.
Like it would be top quality teams going to face each other. So, like, you're...
I don't know if I care. Isn't that what international rugby's for?
Yeah.
Isn't that what that is?
I don't want it to... let me be honest. I don't want a rugby club, world club...
Good. I'm glad you don't want it.
I don't want it, but I wouldn't mind seeing a one-off.
I don't mind one-offs.
You know what they should... Yeah, like I said, they should just do the... because Super Rugby is ending.
Yeah.
These guys, the URC, the Prem, that's all coming to a close pretty soon too.
Right.
So they're kind of ending actually at the same time.
Yeah.
So if they had like the winner of the Champions Cup versus the winner of Super Rugby...
Yeah.
Just a one-off, that's all you need.
Player welfare though. Come on, there's a lot of rugby going on.
They don't care about player welfare.
No, they don't care. But we, you know, we talk about enough that we should pretend we care. You know.
Yeah. So
they should pretend.
I would love to see that.
One-off games, I could get on board.
Where would they play it though? It'd have to be in the middle.
No, neutral territory.
Like a Singapore.
On an oil rig in the Atlantic Ocean. I'd pay to watch that. It'd be cool.
Yeah, there you go. You can have it in Singapore.
Yeah.
Is that kind of...
That's
kind
not... No, it's not.
Kind of...
No, it's not even fucking close to being halfway. It's way close to New Zealand.
Okay, so they both play in Iraq.
That might be actually kind of halfway.
Right. Oh, then like Dubai. That's what
Dubai would lick their lips at that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, Dubai would lick their lips.
They
would build a stadium just for that game.
Use slaves' labor.
Yeah.
Built on the blood of the slaves and build the stadium so the Hurricanes could play Toulouse.
It'd be an indoor stadium, fully air conditioned.
Yeah.
Right? It would be an outdoor stadium that's fully air conditioned.
With a roof, even though it's outdoor. It's got to track, yeah.
So they would, oh man, yeah, that would be the...
And a supermodel in a Ferrari would deliver the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, just get paid $12 million to drop the ball off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that would probably be ideal. One-off game in Dubai.
Yeah.
In Gross. Moneyville, the Vegas of the Middle East there.
Fuck's
and
sake.
That would be sick.
One-offs though, okay?
All right, let's do some predictions for the URC all next
right,
weekend.
All right. For the URC. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because URC is next. They're not playing the games in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You are right.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me some games and I'll tell you what I think.
I'm okay, sure so anyway. On Friday, we got Ulster, Cardiff.
Mm. Well, Cardiff love. What we like to do is to nearly win a game and get a losing bonus point. I'm not going to buck the trend. I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm going to say we're going to lose within a losing bonus point score.
Do you got your spreadsheet out?
Yeah, I do. In my mind.
I'm going to say Cardiff's going to win this game.
I love your enthusiasm. Yeah, yeah. Fuck it. I'm going to say Cardiff.
Yeah.
I'm already fucking zero for one from whatever on these predictions. So.
Glasgow Sharks. Sharks are coming to Glasgow.
Ooh, Sharks beat Edinburgh in the Challenge Cup just the other day on the weekend. And they're looking like they're getting better. But
they're getting better.
They're getting better. But I'm going to say Glasgow because they need to win. I think they're more emotionally invested in winning this
Glasgow's
game.
Glasgow's going to win this game for sure. Don't doubt my man.
Okay.
Here's one I'm more concerned about. I don't know who's going to win this game. On Saturday, first game of the day, you got, there's two games on the same time here. Lions, Leinster. Leinster go to the Lions.
Oh, Leinster win that.
Are you sure? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm fucking kidding. Sure. Yeah, I'm fucking Leinster's sure. Okay.
Oh, man. And then after that, Benetton versus the Dragons.
Benetton are looking good. They beat Connacht pretty handily.
Mm-hmm.
Benetton every day. Yeah.
Isn't that weird? It's like, oh, yeah, Benetton.
They're good now.
Benetton.
They're good now.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
They are good now.
Yeah. Italian rugby, they're the new Welsh rugby.
I'm going to go with Benetton. Oh,
yeah, no, game Dragons after that, are shite.
The bad boys of rugby right now under investigation.
the Bulls
versus Munster.
Ooh.
And the Munster's going down to the Bulls.
I could see Bulls winning that. I think they're going to be fired up.
I think the Bulls are going to...
And Munster have given me nothing recently. They've got players back, but... No, Bulls are going to... Bulls. After all this bullshit that's happened around the investigation, they're going to be angry. Like, they're going to be pissed off and they'll be like, welcome to Pretoria. It's 10,000 feet above sea level. Hope you can breathe, cunts. And they're going to smash Munster.
Yeah, there's going to be some angry beasts down there ready to go.
Yeah.
And then we got the Ospreys going down to the Stormers. So the rest in peace, Ospreys.
Yeah. I mean, Ospreys are like a lot better. I just can't see them winning against the Stormers in South Africa. No.
Ospreys. I put the Ospreys down against everyone. after that, Connacht, Zebre.
Where are they playing?
In Connacht.
Yeah, the Connacht will win.
Yeah.
Connacht will win.
I have to go with Connacht too. And then the last game of the round, Scarlets.
It's not them.
Don't care
who they're playing. Don't even have to tell me, mate. Don't even have to fucking tell me.
They're playing Edinburgh.
Yeah, it's not the fucking Scarlets winning that, is it?
What happened to them?
They're just shit. They got no money. They got nothing.
Didn't they used to... Who?
They got nothing.
It was before my time, but who was like the Welsh team in like from 2010 to 2015?
Who are the Scarlets players?
No. Like who was the...
You want me to name the Welsh team?
Who was the best team in Wales?
Like who played for Wales when we were winning Grand Slams?
I don't care about who played for them.
Be specific.
Who was the best team? Which team was the best
regional team?
Yeah, during
Wales.
That time.
Oh, Ospreys.
Was it the Ospreys?
Yeah, they won like three titles, maybe four.
I thought it was the Scarlets.
They won one title.
Okay.
No, the Ospreys are historically comfortably the best Welsh region. Oh. The Scarlets won it once, but they were just really impressive in how they won.
Don't the Ospreys have like the lowest fan base?
No.
Is it the Scarlets?
It might be one
of those two teams.
It might be the Scarlets. But that's weird because then when the Scarlets have good fans, they do have like the whole town. You got to remember, Llanelli is 26,000 people, right? That's the town size. So when they have 3,000 people at a game, that's a good attendance for them. You know, that's like an eighth of the town has come to watch the game. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not going to hold their attendances. I'm not going to get bothered by the Scarlets, I mean, because they don't have a lot of fucking humans there. You know,
but aren't they like across the street from the Ospreys?
They are. They're not that far. Yeah, but Swansea is a big city, right? Relatively speaking, that's like 200,000-300,000 people.
Can I walk from the Ospreys?
It's not far. You can get a bus pretty quickly. It's probably like a half an hour bus. Yeah. In fact, I've done that bus ride. Yeah, it's not far.
Just fucking walk over.
Yeah. It's not far. Yeah. So anyway, what was the question? It's not Scarlets. Whatever the question is, it's not Scarlets.
I thought they used to be like a dynasty team or something like that.
They won it once and they were reasonably competitive the Champions Cup. I think they won the inaugural season of the Pro 12, what it was called. They've won it twice actually, But like that was 2003 or something. So it's not even, you know, people have lived and died in that time since when they won it, you know?
So what do you were you cheering for the Ospreys one day, at one time in your life?
No.
No, even when they were winning?
No, it wasn't that like I didn't hate them. I just didn't. They're not my team. Like, I don't care, you know?
You're such a purist.
But you should be. Otherwise, you're just a, like, oh, we've got to fly the flag for Welsh rugby. I don't give a shit about that. I care about Cardiff and Wales in that order.
Well, we can't even hit Wales.
You shut up. You can't decide who you support week on week. I heard about this team, the Stormers. I think I'm a Stormers fan. One of my grandparents was from South Africa, actually. You and every other fucking Canadian I've met. Like,
I'm shutting this down. All right, friends. If you have any questions, you can email us at thefriendsofrugbypod@gmail.com. And like and share the podcast.
With your friends.
And subscribe.
To your friends.
And join our Patreon.
Have we got Patreon? No, I nearly believed you then.
Join our Patreon.
Our listeners are going
for
down.
For a measly $500 a month.
That's pretty cheap for our quality content.
Yeah. We'll be doing exclusive.
Well, I'm going to the UK pretty soon, so you're going to have to find a guest.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So if you want to be a guest, email us. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I will. Email us and you could be a guest. That'll be the competition. You could be a guest on the Friends of Rugby.
That'd you be could funny. Be the just guest. Some fucking random who's emailed us.
Yeah.
Please do. That'd be funny.
Actually, but no. I want the guy that's from Virginia. That's what I want.
Oh, because we have a listener in.
We have a guy in Virginia that's listening to like.
He like downloads every episode.
Every one of our episodes.
I think he's on a VPN.
I don't know.
I think it's one of our friends on a VPN.
That's where I want the guy from Virginia. I want to see who this motherfucker. Yeah, I don't even know if it's a guy. I can't even see it.
Didn't we have a listener who is in Iraq as well? Maybe it's a military-based rugby friend.
Yeah, there was a few downloads from Russia too.
Oh, I don't want to speak to them. And, that's too political.
Yeah, Mexico.
Yeah,
Mexico. Yeah.
This sounds like VPNs.
Lebanon.
That sounds like a VPN.
No, who fucking goes online and sets their VPN to Lebanon?
I don't know. I don't know what Netflix is like in Lebanon.
Maybe that's the shit.
Maybe it's good. Yeah. I don't know.
Paul, man, have you seen Russian Netflix? It's fucking lit.
They got everything.
They got everything in Russia.
Got Starship Troopers on there all the time.
Yeah, so that's gonna be our a surprise guest.
That'd be funny. Eh?
This mystery listener from Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm into that actually.
All right, friends. All right,
take it easy.
Have a good one.
Bye bye.